Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, the 19th of August. Coming up today, we have the story of a Kent council that's been accused of raking it in following a price hike at one of their car parks. And we'll hear from the Gills boss after they made it back-to-back wins in League Two over the weekend. But first, our top story today. A man has been charged with murder after a fatal stabbing in Dartford. Police and paramedics were called to Henderson Drive just before 7 on Saturday morning after concerns were raised for a person. They found a woman with stab wounds who died at the scene. 20-year-old Anestis Juska from the same road is accused of killing her and committing a sexual offence against a deceased female. Our reporter Alex Langridge was at Henderson Drive yesterday.
Multiple forensic officers were seen coming and going from the house in Henderson Drive this morning. There are two police vehicles still parked outside the front and the driveway was still cordoned off with police tape. The rest of the road is now open to traffic. Residents said that it was lifted at around 7 p.m. last night. We spoke to a few of neighbours who were caught up within the cordon itself, who were just completely shocked about the news and what's happened. Many described the estate as being quite quiet and a nice place to live. However, they're getting a little bit worried now with the incident, and many are just shocked that something like this would happen on their doorsteps.
We'll bring you any updates on the main page of our website.
Kent Online News.
A roundup of some of our news from over the weekend now. Three men have been sent to prison after police uncovered a cannabis farm in Ramsgate. Officers raided a unit at the Hayne Industrial Park and found more than 1,700 plants worth up to £2 million. The men, who are all from Albania and have no fixed address here in the UK, were sentenced to a total of more than 3 years. They are also facing deportation. A man who filmed himself smearing raw bacon on a mosque in Gillingham is starting 6 months in prison. Marcus Edwards told online viewers he'd get away with it while making racial comments. The 44-year-old from Gillingham Road in the town admitted racially aggravated criminal damage. A court heard it wasn't linked to recent disorder after the Southport stabbings. A children's football referee has been filmed attacking his wife during an argument at a party in Chatham. Philip Buxton is accused of stamping on her phone and headbutting her while drunk at a hotel last December. The 31-year-old from Campion Close in the town has been ordered to wear an alcohol tag, do 60 hours of unpaid work and attend a relationship course. A Thanet man who drank a bottle of gin before crashing his car twice as he went to a shop has been given a 2-year driving ban. Oliver Mansell was found to be almost 3 times the legal limit when he was arrested in July. The 40-year-old from Crisp Road in Accol has been ordered to do unpaid work. A petition has been set up calling for a maternity centre in Dartford to be reopened. Greenlands at Darrenth's Children's Centre was closed as part of cost-cutting measures by the County Council, but mums-to-be are still going to appointments there as no alternative location has been found. Rachel Martin-Ball wants the closure reversed. She's been speaking to Gabriel Morris from the Local Democracy Reporting Service.
Essentially, it's a closed building. The reception is completely unmanned. It's filthy. All the lights are off. When my partner and I arrived with our son, our 16-month-old son, we were convinced we were in the wrong place, having known that previously they'd consulted to close it down. And then a lone midwife that was working there came out after we knocked on the door a few times and said, "Oh, that's fine, now I can see you." I then start to question, "Why are you working out of here?" I was under the impression this had been closed down. She said, "It has, for all intents and purposes, it has. All of the rooms essentially are empty. I'm working out of one room on my own, using a walkie-talkie to communicate with my colleagues and patients, because there's nowhere else for me to go in order to see expectant families, expectant mothers." I was horrified, to be honest. As I said, cleaners aren't there. The reception staff have been sent out. All of the other rooms have been gutted. No one else is attending it. Just entirely unacceptable circumstances. I was genuinely really, really shocked.
How dirty was the building inside?
Well, the reception is filthy. There's dust all over the floor. And the midwife said that her and some of her colleagues are taking in their own cleaning products in order to ensure a certain level of sanitation in the area they're working, the one room they're working out of. And if you consider that they are taking blood from patients in that room, like I had a blood draw taken because they test you for various things, I find also that incredibly disappointing that cleaners are no longer going onto site, because it's just that it makes it incredibly difficult for the midwives to maintain those levels of sanitation in order to see their patients properly.
I mean, what did you feel when you went in there? What was your reaction when you saw that reception being dirty, there was only one member of staff on a walkie-talkie. I mean, you're with your husband, with your 16-month-old son. How did you feel when you saw all of that?
I was horrified. I was genuinely horrified. I was shocked and really upset for the lone midwife that was working there. That is not acceptable working conditions for her. The fact that she's on her own in that building, I think that that constitutes a risk in and of itself. And the fact that, you know, I was there with my husband, but some people would be going there on their own. There's just no support there. There's no support. Previously having consulted about closing it down, the building has been essentially closed. It's gutted, and patients are still being asked to go there. The other thing I mentioned to my husband as well is that we were going there in the height of summer. So it's light, it's bright, you know, we could see where we were going, even though it did appear closed to us. But if you were going there in winter and it was dark, there's no lights on, there's no one there to speak to, I can imagine it would be a really terrifying experience.
The County Council have told us midwifery is using space in all other Dartford family hubs.
Kent Online News.
Figures show more than 90% of compensation claims to the County Council for damage to cars from potholes are rejected. Just 8% of motorists who applied to the authority in the 12 months from January last year have had their request accepted. County Council fixed 37,000 potholes over the same period. They insist all claims are thoroughly investigated. Tests have revealed the River Medway is polluted with dangerous chemicals which could cause cancer and breathing problems as well as damage to wildlife. Some of it's come from industrial processes like road paving as well as pet flea repellents and sewage. The Environment Agency say strict regulation and continued monitoring will continue to improve water quality. There's been another suspicious fire at a derelict school in Chatham. Crews were called to the former St John Fisher Catholic building in Ordnance Street yesterday lunchtime. A blaze also broke out at the site last Friday, as well as in June and last October. The building is set to be demolished under plans for more than 100 new homes. Now, bosses in Canterbury have been accused of breaking it in after increasing charges in a village car park by close to 600%. Back in April, the daily tariff for parking at the site in School Lane in Herne went from £2.20 to £15. It means that revenue for the council has almost doubled from £6,278 between April and July last year to £11,824 this year. That's despite there being a 35% drop in visitor numbers, with many of the 45 spaces now empty throughout the day. Scott Davis spoke to the podcast when the parking charges were first introduced.
It's ridiculous. It went from £1.20 a day to £15 a day. And obviously there's residents here that haven't got parking themselves. There's other businesses, you know, and it's just absolutely mad. It was crazy. It went up on April the 1st. Everyone thought it was an April Fool's joke. Car park was used a lot because in Cherry Orchard, where the lads play football, they would park on Sunday, the church on Sunday services, you know, funerals, weddings, christenings. And the thing is, it's not like it's in Herne Bay Town, which has got a large footfall. You know, there's no passing foot traffic here. So it's people that are living here or come to the church.
There's not a lot of parking room in the village, is there?
There's none at all. I mean, as you can see, all the roads are yellow lines. You can't park anywhere. Crazy.
Were people aware this was happening?
No. No information at all. I believe the parish council knew about it and they put an objection to it, but it was totally ignored. Everybody's got the ump about it. I mean, it's obvious, isn't it? You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. There's nowhere to park at all here.
Locals say the drop in visitors is having a devastating impact on village trade. 1,300 people have now signed an e-petition calling for the changes to be scrapped. Now that it has over 1,000 signatures, the City Council is obliged to hold a debate on the issue. Its Cabinet Member for Transport, Councillor Alex Rickett, says the site in School Lane is one of the cheapest in the district and the charges are in line with what drivers are paying elsewhere. They are aware of the concerns and will consider what impact the changes have had. Meantime, it's more expensive to park in and around Tunbridge from today. Charges have gone up in many of the borough's 34 car parks. You also have to pay on Sundays too. The council says it costs £615,000 a year to run the sites and they needed to recoup the cash.
Kent Online News.
Villagers in part of Kent have stormed a building site after a public right-of-way was blocked off by a developer. The footpath near the Manor Farm development in Borden was temporarily closed for 6 months but didn't reopen. People living nearby say it shows total disrespect for locals. Dale Sharman lives on Chestnut Street and regularly uses the footpath.
I do a lot of walking in the area, walking through Borden to get to Sittingbourne, to go to the gym, to go to the shops and so on. And it has made it so difficult. I now have to go up into the village or walk along the A2 with all the air pollution and everything else from the amount of traffic and the lorries and such that are going through. So it's not pleasant. And it was part of the exercise that I got. Besides working out of the gym, it was the exercise that I was able to get. And also be amongst the wildlife and the air, you know, the better air, etc. Now I have no choice but to have to walk all the way up to the A2 and then come around and then go down the A2. Or I have to walk up School Lane because the other footpaths in the area have been closed off or have been planted over so that walkers can't get through. So I have to walk up School Lane that has no footpaths or pavements along it and then try to cut through another footpath to try to get into the village. It has added probably 15, 20 minutes to my journey each direction. So you're talking a half an hour extra.
The County Council say they've received a retrospective application to extend the closure and this is being assessed. Councillor Mike Baldock wants the route reopened.
It's a well-used footpath. It's been here for, you know, donkey's years. It's part of a big circle that people can use for walking. But also for people who do shorter walks, it's a nice round circuit that people can use. So it's just part of that network of footpaths that we have that people use to get from A to B, but also to go and walk for relaxation, for exercise, active travel, all those things that the government is supposed to be encouraging. I mean, they have got a diversion route. It's totally inappropriate all along the roads. They walking by traffic. There's, of course, constant hold-ups with the works that are going on at the Key Street roundabout. So you're held up in pumping out fumes. And you know, when people want a nice country walk, that's what they want, a country walk. They don't want to have to go past loads of really frustrated drivers with their engines going.
Latest figures show more than 19,000 asylum seekers have crossed the Channel to Kent so far this year. Nearly 500 people made the dangerous journey in 9 small boats on Saturday. It comes as a former care home in Canterbury is set to be turned into a facility to house unaccompanied asylum-seeking children. The County Council has previously said it needs 9 reception centres and has bought Connor's House, which closed in January last year. They aim to look after young people there for 10 days following their arrival in the country. Bosses in Ashford insist a multi-million pound leisure complex still has a place in the town despite being less than half full. Elwick Place, which features a cinema, hotel and space for 8 restaurants and cafes, cost £75 million to build and opened in December 2018. Only 2 of the units are now occupied. Reporter Chantal Weller has been chatting to shoppers in the town.
There's nothing here. Debenhams disappeared. Most of the shops have disappeared. There's hardly any clothes shops to go anymore. So what do you come to Ashford for?
And looking at all of the empty units in Elwick Place, what do you think about that? Because obviously this complex...
I think maybe it's because of the cost.
The cost of the units?
The units.
Yeah.
And people, you know, just can't afford it. And if they're not getting the customs here, but then there isn't no customs here because there's nothing to go and look at.
Yeah. Do you think as well that the location of Elwick Place is wrong? Do you think it's too far away from the high street?
Or? No, I don't think it's got anything to do with that. I just think it's more to do with what do you come to Ashford for? If you go shopping for clothes, shoes, there's hardly any shops in the town centre to buy anything. So what's the best place for us to go? Further afield. So if they had more in the shopping centre, more shops, then people may use this more.
Previously it was busy. There was, I'd say, like with the cafe and stuff, there was a lot of people using it. But over time it just sort of dwindled and ended up with nothing really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how would you describe the atmosphere down here today?
There isn't one. That's it. There used to be. Apart from Matches, which is a busy bar, it used to be a lot of people of the weekend, but now there's no one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that anything could sort of bring Elwick Place back to life, or do you think it's had its day and nothing could save it now?
I think if there were shops and restaurants aiming for the right people, then I think it would be busy. I think older people might want to come down more with families. And yeah, just a bit of a busier town, really, because there is people here that want something, but there's nothing available.
The council leaders blame the impact of COVID, but says he's still optimistic it'll thrive.
Kent Online News.
Ted Baker is set to close all its remaining UK stores, including in Ashford, Canterbury and Bluewater. Talks around a potential rescue deal with Frasers Group are thought to have stalled. All 31 shops are expected to shut by the end of tomorrow, putting more than 500 jobs at risk. A teenager has been rescued after an inflatable kayak was blown out to sea off Sheppey. Lifeboat crews were called to reports of people in trouble in the water off the Lees in Minster. The RNLI have issued a warning about beach toys. There are calls for something to be done with an old school in Medway that's been derelict for more than 20 years. Pictures at Kent Online show the state of the former St Matthew's Infants in Borstal when urban explorers managed to get in. It was bought at auction in 2007 for £300,000, but several planning applications were turned down. The man who oversees the police in Kent has revealed who he's backing to be the next leader of the Conservative Party. Tunbridge MP Tom Tugendhat is in the running to replace Rishi Sunak, along with James Cleverly, Priti Patel, Robert Jenrick, Kemi Badenoch and Mel Stride. Crime Commissioner Matthew Scott has been on the Kent Politics podcast with Simon.
You're a Conservative. Of the six candidates currently in the running to be leader, who would you be backing if you were in Parliament? If you were an MP, who would you be backing?
Tom Tugendhat.
Okay.
I've known Tom for a very long time, naturally. I think he speaks a lot of about what I believe are some of the reasons why we lost the general election and how we need to change going forward. His messaging is very much about what I was talking about earlier. It's about delivering on what you say you are going to do. If you don't do that, then people aren't going to have trust in what you want to do. And I've got a lot of time for Tom. I think he would be a very good leader. There are some other good candidates in the race. But of course, as you say, my choice will be one of the final two. I very much hope Tom is one of them.
Yeah, well, I thought you were going to swerve that question, but but who do you think?
Why I answer your questions?
Yes,
usually.
Of course. Usually, yeah. Who do you think will get through to the final two? I mean, we spoke to someone last week. It was Craig McKinley, actually, who said that he thinks that it'll be a centrist and somebody from the right, and that the members will probably go for the person on the right. Would you go along with that, or do you think that that members have maybe taken a slightly different view in light of what happened at the general election?
It does depend who the final two are. It depends what the parliamentary support is going to be. My feeling is it will probably be Tom versus Robert Jenrick, based on what I'm seeing at the moment. Again, that would be a really good choice for members, I think, and actually you'll get some really good debate. But actually two candidates who I think post-election, whoever wins, could work with each other. You know, I think Tom can win this race. It's one of the reasons why I'm backing him, and I do want to be able to vote for him when the ballot comes later this year.
You can hear the full episode on the politics page of our website. It's thought a new Aldi in Maidstone may not be able to open as soon as hoped because nearby roadworks have been delayed. The supermarket's been given permission to build a new store at Newham Court Way, but the county council's paused work on infrastructure improvements due to funding issues. And a comedian from Canterbury has been named as having the funniest joke at the Edinburgh Fringe. It goes, "I was going to sail around the globe in the world's smallest ship, but I bottled it." Mark Simmons says he's really chuffed to have got the award a decade on from his first appearance in the festival.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and Gillingham have made it back-to-back wins to start the League Two season. Sub George Lapsley scored the only goal of the game as they got their first win away. Mark Bonner spoke after the whistle at a rather windy Morecambe.
We're absolutely buzzing with the result. This has been the most brutal week we could have had, I think. To go to Swansea Tuesday night, to be a bit depleted and not have the options that we might have. 8.25 hours yesterday. Eight and a quarter hours to get here. Like, you can win a game late on with a set play. It's just like best result in football on a day like today. So there can be loads of dissection of the performance, but it's for Monday, it's for next week when we meet. It's not for today. Today's for the last waltz in the dressing room and a bit of music and fish and chips on the way home and be buzzing with the start that we've made. And then, pick the bones out of it next week, I think. We rode a luck in a few moments where we suffered a little bit at times in the game, but I think in the main we were fairly comfortable despite not being quality in lots of moments of the game. In the second half we got better. I thought we carried a bit more of a threat. The wind going in that direction meant whoever was going that way tended to dominate a bit more of the game. We were a bit too open for counter-attacks and stuff first half, more off our own play than theirs, but they spring and they set those up really well. Some good chances, once again some brilliant impact from the boys that come off the bench. We had to change the dimension of the game a little bit, felt we needed a bit more physicality and legs up the pitch. And fair play to Hawks and Lapo, like, brilliant impact, but they've not had an easy off-season and summer with a bit of uncertainty, which is the worst thing for players, but their attitude and work with us has been class. They're there, they're ready when we need them at either end of the pitch. I mean, Hawks ends up going up front today, having played centre-half a lot, but he spends the last few minutes in the middle of our back four, heading everything as well. And he come real close where he crashed the crossbar with his header. The bit of play that led to the goal, Hutz does brilliantly to keep it in play on the corner. Shad, excellent bit of play in the box to pin. Jaden Clark, left foot, guides it back across the goal. Lapo in a brilliant position to sniff something out. It's a brilliant goal. And then it's a nervy finish, as you'd expect, when they can really pump it on you a little bit. But I thought we saw that out great. It's a wonderful result.
That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.